At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
A very good morning to you. You are listening to the Bell and Sperling Show, minus the bell.
I can't be bothered with the verus.
times five.
It's very plus 10 plus the cow.
In the time it took us to work that out, we could have just said the verus.
I know. All right. Very much plus the cow.
Well,
that was 10. I believe that was 10.
Believe it was 10. We've got loads. We've got loads coming up.
We've
still
got loads coming up, haven't we?
We are asking you, when have you been out of your depth? I went swimming the other day. I didn't tell you what I did on Friday.
Well, you went out your depth in the swimming
the show.
Pool?
Well, no, I went in the deep end. I didn't realise how deep the pool was.
How deep is your pool?
How deep is your love? I didn't tell you what I did on Friday, Johnny.
What did you do Friday?
I went over to Whitechapel.
Oh, yeah. Down Whitechapel, yeah.
Sneaky pint.
Yeah. Where'd you have a sneaky pint?
Blind beggar.
Ha! One of my locals, that is, down there.
Is it?
Go down there every day and I'll have a little shot. see what I did there? I had a shot.
The note
of whiskey. He got shot there, didn't he?
Ollie Cornell.
Was it Cornell? Or was it? Yes, it was.
It was Oliver Cornell. Which I always say, Oliver Cromwell.
Oliver Cromwell is on his way.
He hid in a tree.
Oliver's army, isn't it?
Oliver's Cromwell. Army. Yes. I tell you what. Oliver's army, is that a TV show?
No, Oliver's army from? Was. Oliver's army was actually. You're thinking of Dad's army.
Dad's army. Oh, do you think you are kidding, Mr. Hitler? If you think old England's down. we are asking you.
Yeah.
When have you been out of your depth? This is after Frank Lampard lost his opening Premier League game 4-0 to Manchester United, and he's a friend of the show.
He is a friend of the show.
I'll let you introduce him. Because I'm only sitting in for Bell. I'll let you introduce him. Because he's a friend of yours and a friend of the show.
Are you talking about Nizar?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Nizar.
Nizar Kinsella.
Well, I want to ask Nizar Kinsella. I don't think I knew. I mean, producer Laurie told me just before that he's Chelsea correspondent. God, that's who he writes for.
Yeah.
But he's Man U support. So that must have been quite weird, really, isn't it? I don't understand. I shall ask him.
Let's ask him. A very good morning to you, Nizar. Were you a little bit smug in the office then?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's one of those, you know. It's a job. You've got to do your job. I get the greatest job in the world covering football
very
for a living, but it's not my team. It's not my team that I cover.
Very quickly, Nizar, how did you get that job writing for Chelsea when you're a Man U supporter?
Well, you do see it a lot, actually.
You do
see it a lot. I'd say, like, the majority of journalists don't support the team they predominantly write about.
Right.
It's just a case of, you know, being in London. I've been stuck in London ever since I pursued a media career, and now my life's in London, so I have to stay here, basically. But I'm from Manchester. I'm from Salford, which is a red area.
It certainly
Manchester.
Is.
So, and, you know, people like Eric Cantona got me in love with football, so he's to thank for all this.
Eric Cantona, what a character he was. I still love those adverts with him in.
Ooh,
what a character. So, okay, look, first of all, before we go on to Chelsea, as a Man U... you must be really pleased, surely.
Yeah, definitely. But I think that, you know, United did struggle for a long period in that game. Mm. It was good, and you know, I think they needed it. The most important thing, it gives them something to build on for the season, because, you know, there's not been a lot of hope there. There was a winning period under Solskjaer, obviously, in the early days, but it quickly turned negative. So to start the season on a positive, it feels like a new era. It felt like a new start, and that's the important thing, is sort of like trying to box off this quite toxic period.
Let's go on to Chelsea, who you're on here to talk about. There's plenty to talk about. It was just a disaster for them, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I think, you know, I know more about Chelsea than Man United just because of the nature of my job. I spend so much time doing it. And moving to this sort of new Lampard era, it's sort of the biggest question mark still hang over the club. It's sort of, you know, they've lost Eden Hazard, the transfer ban, so they're using young players.
Yeah.
And are they good enough to do it? We still don't really know. You know, at times in that game, Chelsea dominated. They had more shots. They had more possession. But they still come out getting beat 4-0. And now is that naivety? Probably yes, to a point. I mean, the way that Chelsea were attacking, there were several moments where players were arriving in the box at the right times to get on the end of crosses. Azpilicueta was running rampant in the first half, down that right side. And that should have been something they identified, something that they capitalised on. And that's the thing, they didn't capitalise on anything positive they did,
and that is down
even
to
though there was a lot of positive.
That's down to experience, right? I mean, listen, I mean, I think personally... I think they got rid of Sarri way too quickly. I think he did wonders for him last season, I think, personally. He turned it around. Do you think that he would have handled it completely different yesterday? Or Saturday?
Yeah, well, it's a bit of a shame with Sarri because, you know, he did sort of play with Chelsea like in a way that he expected the second season to be where Chelsea came into their own. You know, it was meant to be a two-season project at least, maybe a three-season project to replicate what he did at Napoli. And he hadn't had the chance to do that. Now we're in a Lampard era. I think that actually, you know, the Lampard era is positive because there's a sense that there'll be patience, you know, even with a 4-0 defeat, even if they lose to Liverpool, I think that nobody's going to turn on him. And Chelsea just need to build slowly. You're looking at what Man United are doing. They're doing the same thing. Arsenal are trying to do the same with Emery. Liverpool did it very successfully with Jurgen Klopp. And that's what you've got to do to catch Man City, who are setting the bar so high. And it just needs somebody to be stuck with. It doesn't matter who, almost. It just needs to be somebody. And maybe Lampard's the only person who can bring it together. But, you know, in the early days, you know, it's obviously a negative to lose 4-0. But I don't think anyone will be overreacting just yet in terms of, you know, Chelsea staff.
Yeah, Nizza, you mentioned ever so right at the start of that about the patience involved. Because, I mean, I don't think I'm talking out of line here if I say the Chelsea staff clearly like the smell of new paint in that manager's office. Do you know what I mean? They're constantly sacking people. Left, right and centre. But is now the time, with the transfer ban, with the club legend, where Lampard will get the time? Because after three games, they'll high him out normally, but they're in a bit of a sticky position, our Chelsea. So is this the time where Lampard needs patience and he can get it?
I think he definitely needs it, and I think he can get it, but it just depends, you know, he needs to avoid it like becoming so negative. Fans of the club are going to ridicule Chelsea, obviously. And it's a case of like shutting out that noise from the camp, you know, the Chelsea camp. If it is a bad start, which it could well be, can they shut out the noise? Can they carry on focusing, carry on growing? Because this young team needs to grow. Even sort of the, you know, the players in their mid-20s, they're still not that experienced. Yeah. Kurt Zouma had a really tough game yesterday and he needs a lot of help, you know, to get to the next level of his career, which, you know, he's very capable of. He played with Pogba in the French youth teams. There's Andreas Christensen as well, who needs to be developed. So it's not just this sort of Hudson-Odoi's, Tammy Abraham's. It's most of the squad, really, that needs that help. And also Lampard's growing in that journey with them. So it's about really believing in what they're doing and doing that with a club legend, with a club man, and also just bringing all the aspects of the club together. The academy and the first team are much closer now. There's also the owner. Are they going to stick with him? Probably will, because if they stack Lampard, the fans will turn on them.
Yeah.
The fans are with the whole, you know, process as well. They've bought into what Lampard's doing. Even though Sarri was successful, they didn't buy into what he did at all. They didn't like the way he spoke. They didn't think he was a real Chelsea man. And now they've got a Chelsea man. And perhaps this can be the change from this hiring and firing, new paint job in the office type thing that we're used to here at Chelsea.
Well, if we look at the Premier League table, it's Watford, Chelsea and West Ham at the bottom of the table. That's not a sight that we're used to seeing. Certainly not Chelsea sitting down there. So if we look again, look forward to next Sunday. Chelsea are hosting Leicester in the later kickoff on the Sunday, 4:30. Chelsea are going to be wanting to come out punching against Leicester, but Leicester are a very dangerous side. Is Frank Lampard in danger of losing his first two games?
Yeah, well, yeah, and he's got Liverpool as well midweek, don't forget.
Of course,
it's going to be very tough. So, I think that he's definitely in danger of that. And I think that, you know, it'll be a tough game for Leicester as well, just because of the atmosphere is going to be so electric at Stamford Bridge. I mean, we're talking about a true Chelsea great in terms of the fans' opinion of a player. I don't think you can do much better than Frank Lampard. He might be the one. So, you know, imagine that your club, whoever it is, whoever you're listening to this, you know, they support the biggest legend coming in and managing. It's going to be absolutely massive. And I think everyone's eyes are going to be on it. But Leicester are definitely good at spoiling a party. So, yeah, I think it's a dangerous game. They've been given a really dangerous run of fixtures to start with, and it's not really helped, especially because this is a young squad, a new squad, new tactics.
Yeah.
There were times when I felt in the Man United game where, you know, they just looked really exposed, like they couldn't handle the counter-attack at all. It was quite clear. I think everyone saw that pace, transition. They couldn't get back in time to deal with Rashford and players like that. So now they've got to do the same with Vardy and Maddison. And the Liverpool lot, which are not a bad team either. So it's a really rough start. They could have done with a Sheffield United at home or something like that.
It's incredible, though. I mean, they had more possession, didn't they? 54%. They had more shots on target, more corners, but no points. It's mad, isn't it? And they lose 4-0 with those sort of stats.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I mean, they had four mistakes on goals, didn't they?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think that... That's one of the biggest worries. It came from pre-season.
We got you back. Are you there, Nizza?
Yeah.
Sorry,
can you hear me?
Stay still, I think, is the...
I was just saying, the defence is the issue, you know. They control the game with the ball. They were much better with the ball than Manchester United. Mm. And that's impressive for players like Mason Mount to come to Old Trafford and do that. But... Yeah, defensively, they looked a bit weak in pre-season as well. They were winning games, but they were also conceding loads of goals. So, like, I was there when Reading scored 3 goals against them. Red Bull Salzburg scored 3. They conceded several other goals in other fixtures as well. They struggled to get any clean sheets at all, except against a mediocre Irish team. So it's sort of thing that they'll be battling to achieve now. That's what Lampard needs to sort out, the defence. It's also, you know, how you defend as a unit. It's not just individuals. I thought Kurt Zouma looks a little bit out of his depth in that first game, but he's shown in the past that he can play for Chelsea. So there should be something in there for him. I wonder if they're going to rue to regret the David Luiz sale to Arsenal.
Yeah. I mean, listen, Nizar, what's your personal opinion? Do you think that Laps is up for the job? I mean, do you think
I think it's hard. I think everyone wants him to be up for the job, you know. Chelsea fans will back him to the final moment. So it's hard for me to come out and say he's not good enough. He's certainly not proven anything yet in his career. The only reason he's got this job is because he's a Chelsea legend. Mm. Now, is that enough? I don't know. You know, Solskjaer is very much the same at Man United. He's not really qualified for the job. But, you know, they've chosen to go in a certain direction.
Yeah.
Pep Guardiola proved it at Barcelona. He didn't have the CV for it, but he was absolutely a visionary, a fantastic manager. So Lampard's very intelligent. I think he's tactically aware. I've met him a few times, interviewed him. I find him, you know, almost intimidating how intelligent he is. But can he really do it at a top level? We just don't know, really.
It's funny, right? Sorry, Cal, just to interrupt you quickly.
It's all right.
It's funny because I was saying the completely opposite, actually. I was saying that Solskjaer wasn't up for the job, and I was saying give Lampard a chance.
Yeah.
It seems like I'm eating my words a little bit.
Nizza, I really want to ask you very, very quickly, is there any positive Chelsea fans and Frank Lampard can take from that performance?
Yeah, plenty. I think plenty, because they did dominate possession at Old Trafford. That's not easy to do. You know, teams like Man City can do it, but not many others can. So that's a positive. And I think that, you know, they created so many chances. They just need to learn how to turn them in. And defensively, they were always going to struggle because, you know, it's the start of the season. Lots of players have been away on international tournaments. They're not really well drilled yet. It's going to take time. I mean, maybe, you know, Sarri said the same thing last season. I think by September, October, then... If there's the same kind of issues, then we're going to have to start really worrying about the defence. But, I think that, you know, it's a talented young squad. I'm really excited to see what becomes of Mason Mount. I think he showed signs of, you know, good skill. I thought, you know, him and Barkley maybe didn't really work well together yesterday, but those two, you know, individually are great talents. And I think Lampard can get the best out of them. I can't wait to see Christian Pulisic. They've got Loftus-Cheek to come back, and N'Golo Kante wasn't in the squad.
Yeah.
He only came off the bench. Antonio Rudiger is a very good defender. Hudson-Odoi, Loftus-Cheek. They've got loads of talents come back, and I think that this season's kind of a clear slate for all these players. A lot of them haven't really proven themselves at the very, very top level. They've got Champions League football to come, and this season is like, some people will succeed and some people will fail at Chelsea. Some people will be sold by the end of the season, and it's kind of a fight or flight for everybody at Chelsea, and it's great to see. It's going to be some wonder kids will emerge, and some people will be sold to a lesser team, and yeah, it's interesting to see who wins out at the end of the season.
Yeah, well, Nizzo, maybe it's just a little bit of a blip because they haven't got so many players playing for it. Anyway, we'll see where it goes. But as a man, you as a supporter, you were very pleased indeed. Nizzo Kinsella there, who writes for the Chelsea Correspondent Goal. But he's very pleased to say he's a Man U supporter, I can tell you that.
You are listening to the Nizzo. Bell. Thank you very much, Nizzo. You are listening to the Bell and Sterling Show, minus the bell.
Very, 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 very much plus the cow.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
If you want to speak to us, we are asking you, when have you been out of your debt? This is after Frank Lampard lost his opening game as the Chelsea manager, 4-0 to Manchester United. Daniil Medvedev, #next generation tennis player, lost 6-3, 6-love to Rafael Nadal in the first ever meeting they had.
Wow.
Oh, it's a complete walkover, that, isn't it?
That is a walkover, yeah. But would you expect that, or did you think he was going to put more of a fight in?
I thought he put in more of a fight. Rafa would win. Rafa Nadal would win, but
yeah,
you know,
I thought
it'd be a bit more of a fight. But I want to talk about this puppy.
Aww.
Britain's loneliest dog has waited 900 days without being adopted.
We've seen him. He looks adorable, doesn't he?
8-year-old lurcher Sam was first rescued as a Bolton by a Bolton animal shelter in 2014. Has been in and out ever since.
He's been returned by three different families through no fault of his own. One owner died 6 months after adopting him.
Oh, no. The shelter staff say he is playful, gentle, and absolutely loves people, and have now made a public plea to find their longest-serving resident a home.
Oh, I bet he's got one now. Now
well, I hope so. Hope so. Well, he has, because if he hasn't, I'll take him.
Would you? Yeah.
Love Sport Dog. We'll bring him here.
The Love Sport Dog?
We'd love a Love Sport Dog. What would we call him? Love Sport Dog.
Call him Love Sport.
Well, let's call him Bell because he's not here.
Yeah.
Bell the dog. Well, his name is Sam. Lurcher Sam, so we'll call him Bell. Lurcher Sam.
Just gulped a nice bit of water down
you
there.
You did indeed.
Well, I'm going to go for a second.
Are you going to go? When we drink with Johnny, he turns it down in 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Oh, he's done it. He drank all his water down in that.
Oh, I'm feeling a little bit lightheaded.
Are you a dog or a cat man, Johnny?
Dog.
Did you have dogs as a kid?
We did, yes. Yes.
Yes, we did. We had a dog. It was called Bojo.
Piggy. We had a dog.
Get out of my pub.
We had a dog. I named him her. Piggy, name it.
Piggy.
Listen, I thought when I was young, I was about 9 when we got Piggy, that I thought she was adorable. Cocker Spaniel.
Yeah.
And I thought she was the most beautiful looking dog. Only when I look back at pictures, she was an ugly thing. She was a funny looking thing. But we thought she was beautiful, and she wasn't. But she ended up being one of those dogs. Maybe it's because she was spoiled.
Yeah,
I'm not sure. Where every time we went near her,
oh, growler!
Oh, she was horrible. I remember once she was underneath the table. We love that.
You growling into the mic?
She was. I remember my dad was a little bit wary of her, and I think she knew it, and she played it. It was underneath the table. She was underneath the table. And all of my friends were sitting around this table, and Peggy was underneath the table. She was guarding some orange peel or something.
Yeah.
And my dad came in to get the dog because the dog wouldn't move. And he went, come on, Peggy. Come on, Peggy. She went, rawr! And he flew back. tripped over the chair. And I mean, you know when something's funny, when somebody falls over.
Yeah.
It was funny. But she used to growl at everybody. I look back on it and she wasn't a nice dog.
You know, we had Peppy was our first dog.
Yeah, Peppy Peggy.
Pepe was a Welsh border collie, and he was my best mate growing up. They're your best mates as a kid, aren't they?
Yeah.
Your very best mate. I could tell him everything. Spoke to him constantly.
Did you really?
He ate all the backs out of the chairs. We used to have wicker chairs in the dining room.
He ate all the backs.
And he ate all the backs of the chairs.
Did you really?
Yeah. We used to, when he was puppy training, we used to put a newspaper down at the back door. This is before all the inventions. You can pee into this, you can teach it.
Newspapers, yeah.
So, and I've never known how dogs do this. They've got a talent that humans don't have.
Is it the one I'm thinking of we can't mention?
Where they can cover an entire house with one sheet of newspaper. I don't know how they do it.
Yeah.
But they shred it. And they managed to cover the entire house in one piece of newspaper.
Well, the one I'm thinking of course, is when they can lick their... You know what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
When they can, you know. And there's a great joke by Jasper Carrot.
Yes.
And he said he was at a family do.
Yeah.
You know, like his girlfriend's family do. And he was a little bit, he was a bit wary. And then the dog went into the middle of the room and started doing what I just said.
Yeah.
Right?
And to cleaning.
Cleaning, yes. And to break the ice, he said, I wish I could do that, you know. And she says, if you give him a, I wish I could do that, you know. She said, if you give him a biscuit, he'll let you. You know, it's funny.
That is funny, yeah.
Yeah, Jasper Carrot.
If you give him a biscuit, he'll let you.
I really had to really tame that down for the listener.
Yes.
Because we're on Love Sport. But, you know, I think everyone gets the gist.
Well, we were speaking a couple of days ago, earlier last week, about technology and things, and how great it is with the FaceTime and stuff like that. So I FaceTime my mum quite a lot with my dad, and we see the dogs. So they've got two new dogs now. Pepe died. We had to have him put down. Yeah. And then we've got two Labradors my mum and dad have now. They've got a black lab called Dulcie and a chocolate lab called Ralph.
I love Labradors. They're beautiful, aren't they?
Dulcie likes to rub her backside along the floor quite a lot.
They do that, yes,
they
yes,
do.
Yes.
And my mum on FaceTime, she says, oh, do you want to see the dogs? I go, okay. And then my mum will spin the camera around and go, hello, Ralph, and Ralph's head's right up against the camera. Oh. She goes, oh, look, Dulcie's doing a little dance for you while she's wiping her bum along the carpet.
Oh, that's lovely. My mate, the Robbo, used to have a beautiful dog. She died, but what was she? We used to do with her, Candy, her name was, and she had a little drink. And then when you saw Candy, you go, show us your bum, Candy, show us your bum. And she'd like poke her bum out. She was lovely, she was adorable. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We are talking about dogs because Britain's loneliest dog has waited 900 days without being adopted. A poor puppy. I saw a video last night actually of a pussycat that would turn roll over every time you said spaghetti.
Oh, really?
He'd go, spaghetti, and it would turn around.
They're wonderful things. You're more of a dog than cats.
I like both of them.
Like both.
I like both of them. And I like all animals.
Well,
really.
No, I do too. Don't get me wrong. I always say, mate, you say you love all animals. We have this discussion on Friday.
Don't like snakes.
When I said to you, if you had to kill it to eat it,
yeah, would.
You would.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you're not really that much of an animal.
I am
an animal,
are you? Yeah, yeah,
I am. You could kill a poor deer. A deer.
Ah, don't
come
really
on.
Eat. Don't really eat.
Pheasant.
Yes, pheasant.
No, it's venison, isn't it?
Venison, yeah.
Deer is deer,
isn't it?
It's venison deer.
I think that's the shortest joke. Say, ooh, that's expensive. I tell you the most expensive thing. Venison's deer.
But is that the meat of a deer?
Yeah, venison.
You couldn't.
Have you had venison before?
Yeah.
It's very nice.
It is very nice,
the thing is, I couldn't be bothered with having to deal with the rest of the deer. That's why.
Oh, no. I just couldn't kill anything, so I'm a wuss. I don't think I'm a wuss, but I just don't like the idea of you know, anything dying from my hands.
What about fish?
I mean.
Have you killed fish? Goldfish?
No. We've been killed them.
I overfed them and not cleaned them and stuff like that.
Well,
I've done that before by accident.
Do you think as a kid I did kill a little hamster once by accident. It was an accident, and I still feel
guilty
for it. Yeah, I think it was either a gerbil or a hamster, one of those things.
Yeah,
and there was a board, and I've accidentally, the board has fell onto the hamster.
You didn't just. No, I forget to feed it. You crushed the hamster.
I didn't do it on purpose.
Okay.
It was the ball that I knocked. I knocked it.
And crushed
by
it.
By accident. Oh,
my sister.
And I still feel... Oh.
Speaking of hamsters, my sister had a hamster called Colin. Yeah. That when she went to sleep, used to break out of its cage.
Colin the hamster.
And it had a little, like, its own little man cave underneath the wardrobe that he'd made. So at the middle of the night, you'd hear him. And he'd climb out, go underneath the wardrobe and chill out there, and then put himself back to bed by morning. Colin the hamster.
I must ask you.
Colin.
We have a lot...
Colin the hamster.
I'm just going to ask. Colin?
Colin the hamster. I didn't name him.
It's a great name, isn't it?
I had a hamster when I was a kid. It was called Harry, classic. Harry the hamster. Basil the hamster I had as well.
Me and Belle, or Belle and I, if you want to be correct. Nah, it's me and Belle. We have this long thing about, you know, names now that you would never name... anybody. Hmm. Like Colin, for example. You wouldn't get a Colin anymore.
Colin the dog's quite a nice name, isn't
Colin
it?
Colin the dog, maybe. But I'm saying this for humans. For babies.
Keith.
Right, Keith has gone. Colin's gone.
It is a weird thing, though, isn't it? If isn't you had it? A baby and you said, oh, it's a boy, and you looked at your baby boy and went, oh, such a beautiful baby boy.
Keith.
Do you think he looks like a Keith?
And the funny thing is that Harry, Fred...
Harold, Fred.
Harold, Fred. They're all back. Like, and they're the oldest names in the book.
Yeah, yeah. Marty. Harry. Marty is what people...
Marty.
Martin, though, isn't it? It's Marty.
Martin. Marty, I don't think they would call Marty. Marty.
Marty. No, people get called Marty as a nickname instead of Martin.
Oh, I see. Oh, right,
they
okay.
are christened Martin.
No, I think there's Marty.
Is there?
I think you're christened Marty.
My dad's christened John, not Jonathan.
No, I'm christened John, too.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. Yeah, not Jonathan or Johnny. I adopted Johnny, in fact, when I was looking for a singing name, because when I was going to go out as a solo artist.
John Sperling doesn't sound as good as Johnny Sperling.
It doesn't, does it?
No, you're right.
Do you know what I mean? John Sperling sounds a bit... John. I always think John. It's just very... Hello, John.
Hello, John.
I think of John.
Johnny.
You know, yeah. Johnny.
Oi, oi, Johnny.
Johnny boy. It's friendly, more friendly Johnny, isn't it?
Well, do you know, I'm interested. We have to go to a break, but yeah. I really, really like looking at wrestlers' names, real names.
Okay, right.
Now, there was a wrestler in the early 90s called Ravishing Rick Rude, right? And his real name was Rick Rude. How good's that, right? And there was another wrestler called Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, right? His real name... was Ricky.
Were they American?
Yeah, they were American. Yeah. His real name was Ricky Blood. That's a better name, isn't it?
Ricky Blood.
Ricky Blood.
Marvellous.
You're listening to the Bell and Sperling Show, minus the bell.
Very much plus the cow.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
A very good afternoon. You're listening to the Bell and Sperling Show, minus the bell.
Very much plus the cow.
Very, very much plus the cow. Mm. We are here until 2 p.m. Ma. What was that song? Ma. Lady Gaga.
Ma. No, I'm thinking of ma Baker. Ma.
I can't remember.
Boney M. Mar Baker.
Well, our next guest is Matt Cooper, who is a golf expert. A very good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
There we are. Oh, there we are. Patrick Reed ended a 16-month winless run on the PGA Tour by claiming a one-shot victory at the Northern Trust in New Jersey this weekend. And then I was about to say, and we have Matt Cooper on the line, but we did it the other way around. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Your first question is now coming from the lovely Carl Alberts.
Well, with a win in the Northern Trust, Patrick Reed moved up to second in the standings in the FedEx Cup. How impressive was he this weekend, Matt?
Oh, very. It was clean back to the to the Patrick Reed that we recognise from the Ryder Cup and the President's Cup and when he won the Masters. And in that sense, it was no great surprise, actually, because he played in the President's Cup on that course, Liberty National, 2 years ago. And we all know that he sort of self-styles himself as Captain America in the Ryder Cup. and the President's Cup, wears the Stars and Stripes on his heart very strongly. And that course overlooks the Statue of Liberty. So it was no surprise that he sort of peered out there and thought of his nation. He actually said that even as he was playing the final round, he was remembering just what success he'd had on that course.
Right. Listen, Brooks Koepka remains in the lead by a distance. I mean, he has had the luxury of picking and choosing which tournaments he appears in. I mean, is there any catching him? And isn't the whole point of these playoffs to stop players dominating them, isn't it?
Well, it is a little bit. It might actually backfire on the PGA Tour a little bit, because previously there were four playoffs, and every week the field would get cut a little bit. This time they've gone to three. So after last year was 125, this week we're down to 70, and only the top 30 in the rankings will progress to next week. And then it gets really complex, because whereas previously the 30 player field played the tournament as it was, and at the end of the week the rankings were rejigged so you saw who won, this time whoever's in first place will start at 10th of par, and then second will be a couple of shots behind him, and so on as the field goes down. So actually, rather than starting at level par, everybody will be starting behind whoever leads the rankings. So that's something that's never been seen at a golf championship before. And it actually means that you know the remarkable scenes at that tournament last year when Tiger Woods won.
Yeah,
possibly the most dramatic scenes that have ever been witnessed on a golf course, at least a century. Like hundreds of people just pouring onto the fairway. Incredibly, it would have been a bit more complex last year, and he would have had a putt to tie the lead in the tournament. But that victory might have been ripped from our grasp because of this complex system that they're putting up next week.
But yeah. Jordan Spieth hit a final round of 67 at the Liberty National this weekend to keep his FedEx Cup hopes alive in what is Caddy described as the least Jordan golf course that we play all year. Were you surprised to see him pull out the bag?
I was, and I tell you why, because this year has been a really strange one for him. He's played. I don't believe this. Are you there?
Yes, we're here.
Sorry, I thought I had another problem.
Sorry. But basically, I'm having a real Jordan Spieth 10 minutes. He's played very, very well before the cut all year, but he's played very badly at the weekend. So the fact that he's got another top 10, it's his fourth this year, and he got the first three in a little clump early on in the summer. The fact that he's got this again will really sort of encourage him to sort of have a really good conclusion to the year. And that goes beyond the end of this season, kicking on into the early weeks of next season, which starts in September. So he's in such a strange place at the moment. One minute he plays brilliantly tee to green, then that disintegrates and his traditionally strong putting reemerges. He's had real difficulty just marrying the two.
Right. Listen, Matt, several big names need big performances at Medina. Funky Cold Medina. You don't remember that song, do you? Performances at Medina. I mean, Tiger Woods, Jordan Spieth could be out of the running if they don't turn up, couldn't they?
Yeah, yeah. It seems remarkable that I mentioned Tiger in the part one of our chat. Incredibly... Yeah, he's got to be in the top. First of all, he's got to be fit enough to play this week. And if he does, he's then going to break into the top 30.
Yeah.
Which, given the fact that apart from one week in early April at the Masters, Tiger Woods has not played very well this year. He's had real difficulty. After last year, he played a lot of golf in the summer.
Yeah.
It all peaked at that Tour Championship. He slumped like I've never seen a golfer slump at the Ryder Cup. He was quite
amazing, isn't it?
At the end of the Ryder Cup.
It's amazing, because we all thought that he was going to, you know, to go on and triumph over the next few months after that win, and he just seems to have slumped, doesn't he?
I think he has a lot of difficulty with his back.
Right.
If he's playing golf at a cold golf course or a damp golf course, you can pretty much just say goodbye to him. And also humidity seems to be a bit of a problem.
Right.
So keep an eye out for when it's... But I mean, that's strange enough, because he's just got to... I mean, he can't go around trying to play golf based on the weather forecast.
No, of course not.
So it does look like a long... What I think we've basically discovered is that he does have good golf in him, but he's got to manage his body exceptionally well. He's got to hope for good climate conditions. it seems very difficult to imagine that he can pull it out of the bag this week, given that he pulled out after one round last week. And indeed, the odds would suggest that the Spieth is going to struggle to get through to the Tour Championship next week as well.
Sorry, Matt, I just wanted to have a look at the slow play rule, because they're reviewing their slow play policy after American Bryson DeChambeau took 2 minutes to hit a 70-yard chip at the Northern Trust. Does this need to be addressed, and how are they going to do it? They're going to have to introduce shot clocks and things like they have in tennis. What are they going to do?
The European Tour did try a tournament with a shot clock last year. Unfortunately, it was a bright idea, but it was just incredibly expensive to actually put on, so it only actually lasted 1 year. I think ultimately what the system that's put in place for trying to manage whether golfers are slow or not is a really bizarre and not particularly clever one in golf. How they ultimately police it, I don't know. But I think what's happened is last week there's like a real sort of a moment been hit where everybody's really got sick and tired of the slow play. A little bit of me thinks it's about time it's come to Bryson DeChambeau, because he does take his time ludicrously over quite a lot of shots. On the other hand, it's also a little bit dodgy in that he's very famous for having a very scientific approach to the game. Now, I would actually argue that there are two separate things here. He's very scientific, and also he's very slow. Being scientific does not necessarily make you slow. However, the fact that he's scientific, and it irks quite a lot of people that he thinks he's he's rewritten the rules of the game and everything, they are actually a little bit more willing to have a pop at Bryson DeChambeau because they're irked by his scientific analysis. Whereas there are lots of players who are equally slow, but they don't get a lot of stick because they're either slightly more likeable players or whatever. But that aside, the fact that people have come out and said that, and not just fans or journalists who've been going on about this for ages, but players have had a pop at him. That's led to a few awkward situations. He had a bit of a ding-dong with...
I was going to say, sorry to interrupt you, but I was going to say, despite DeChambeau's actions, I mean, what do you make of his the other players digging him out, like Eddie Pepperell, calling him a single-minded twit? I mean, shouldn't golf be a respectful sport?
should it not also just have a little bit of bite? I think it's that with Eddie Pepperell, there's meaning in there. There's also a bit of cheekiness. He actually responded today with another tweet saying, "Yeah, I should just like to say I was wrong to call him a twit," which is quite interesting. We all know what the implications
are. There are worse things to be called, isn't there, Matt? There's worse things to be called. I've been called.
Also, of course, what he didn't go back on was the single-minded bit.
Right.
So, I mean, it's a fascinating thing, though, actually. I mean, I watch a lot of golf, and it is extraordinary. You even see players who have no hope of making the cut on a Friday evening, and they're playing with a guy who's in contention for the title, and the person who's got no chance of making the cut still goes through their processes to line up a short putt.
Yeah.
And you stand there going, what's the point? Yeah. But they would argue that if you do this for every shot, it means you do it for every shot. Whereas, like, a normal human being would just think, just get on with it and get out of the way. Sure. But golfers are quite like that.
Sure. Let's chat a little bit of Rory McIlroy. He finished sixth, and he said he was very proud of his finish in New Jersey. Does he need to give a little bit more?
Now, it just feels like massive deja vu with Rory. Time and time again, every sort of week, we sort of go there's hope there, but the weird edge that players need to take themselves from being very consistent to actually winning just seems to be ever elusive with him. I'm beginning to run out of ideas for what could possibly be the thing that gets him over the line. It's just very difficult to tell. I mean, he played some very good golf, but it's just he's like a sort of player at the moment who's getting into the box. He's like a footballer at the moment. He's getting into the box a lot of times. He's getting a lot of shots off, but he's not. He's hitting the woodwork.
Right.
He's great saves. Somehow what you would hope is that he's playing such good golf and finding so many different ways of not winning that when he does win, you just suspect there might be quite a lot of them that come quite quickly.
Well, finally, I mean, listen, Rory's sitting in third at the moment. I mean, he's heading to the Tour Championship as the FedEx Cup leader?
There's a possibility that he can wrap up his season. And I think if he did do this, there'd be it would be some sort of validation of his year. But at the same time, I think the thing that everybody has to remember is the FedEx Cup, the PGA Tour is desperate to give it gravitas. Right. But the truth is that it is a bit after the Lord's Mayor show. And what they've done is they've chucked an awful lot of money at it. That didn't work.
Yeah.
Now they've come up with this new fangled scoring system for next week, not this week.
Right.
It'll be. I think it's very much let's wait and see what happens.
What's your prediction? What's your prediction, Matt? What do you think is going to happen?
My suspicion would be that Brooks Koepka will do enough to mop up all the money. Mm. He has this unerring ability at the moment to peak at the right time.
Right.
I think there's a good chance. And if put it this way, if he's going into the lead and he's got a couple of shots on the field,
right,
and more shots on most of the field, then he's going to be very hard to beat.
Well, Matt Cooper, you're the golf expert, so we'll take that as let's see if you're right. Matt Cooper, there, enjoy the golf, Matt. Talking about the FedEx Cup. You're listening to Bell and Sperling. No, you do it. I've messed up.
No, I want you to do it.
No. Let's do it.
You're listening to the Bell and Sperling Show, minus the bell.
And very much plus the cow.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
It's now time for Games with Laurie.
It is called Games with Laurie. Producer Laurie's in the studio.
Laurie, hello.
What you got for us, Laurie?
This one's a bit stupid.
No, I don't believe you.
There's been a lot of talk about the weather this summer.
Yes.
It's been very windy over the weekend, and if you noticed.
And it's rained today, is it?
It's all rainy.
Oh, it's rain.
Very rainy, very windy. And also, you may have heard, it's been the slowest start to hurricane season since 2004.
I didn't know we had a hurricane season.
Well, we don't, but
there's
statistic.
There's a statistic I never thought you'd be saying.
So, yeah, we've only had...
I got it out in the end, didn't I?
We've only had... we've only had three Atlantic hurricanes so far, which is very rare.
Oh, it sounds boring.
Two of them.
It sounds boring so far, mate.
Yeah, well, I tell you what.
Go on. I'm telling you. I'm not. I don't know.
How many hurricanes do we normally have by now, Laurie? Do we know?
I don't know. More like eight or so. More. Okay. I don't know more. The averages. But essentially, you know they're named. They always have real names.
Yes.
Ah, that's good. So, now I like it.
So far, we've had Andrea.
Yeah,
Barry.
Yes, yes.
And we've also had three. Because it wasn't considered big enough to have a name.
Oh.
So, Andrea, Barry and three.
Well, it's a bit boring, isn't
but
it?
What I thought I would do is...
Yeah.
I don't know if you know how it works, but essentially...
Alphabetical.
It's a six-year cycle, and it's alphabetical each year.
Okay.
And then they get reused. Right. Unless they get retired because too many people have died. So we're not going to cover those ones.
No, thank God for that.
Do they not go male, female, male, female as well, though?
You definitely get a
mixture. Is the main concept of this, is it a real name of a hurricane or not?
Well, yeah, but we're not going to talk about ones in the past, obviously.
Right.
Because we don't want to talk
and
about
came out for a hurricane.
But
and it came out for a hurricane.
Because it's on a six-year cycle,
they
have them 6 years in advance.
Right.
So over the next six-year cycle, you're going to have to guess, is it a real hurricane name?
Oh, nice.
Or is it a fake one? Very simple.
Okay,
very easy.
Cool.
And you've made a few up, of course.
Well, I mean, they're all names, because otherwise you don't get them.
Aragon.
All right. It's a long introduction to a short game.
I just had to set it in context.
No, it was good. Okay, here we go.
Also, I will say it was significantly lengthened by you just butting in. Okay.
Sounds quite boring at the moment. I didn't say it sounded boring. It was like...
Let's kick off.
Okay. So, up first, Johnny Sperling.
Yes, mate.
Hurricane.
Yeah.
Kenneth. Mm. Is Hurricane Kenneth going to be in the next 6 years?
Is Hurricane Kenneth going to be in the next... No. You made it up.
Hurricane Kenneth is real.
Sounds like a camp wrestler.
I can say it's hypothetically
Hurricane
real.
Kenneth.
Because...
making his way to the ring. Oh. Hurricane Kenneth.
Oh, here he comes.
Because obviously they don't get all the way through them every year.
No, okay.
So, so it's a hypothetical one, but it's a real...
It's real.
It's a real hypothetical hurricane. Okay, Cal Halbert.
Nation's favourite, yes.
Here's one for you.
Okay.
Hurricane Maggie.
Hurricane Maggie.
Will we see a Hurricane Maggie over the next 6 years or so?
Posh boy's not
Maggie.
He's thinking no.
I'm going to say yes.
No, never.
That is not
right. Why
but
never?
Because Maggie is such a name associated with one person, i.e. Thatcher, that I don't think they would do that.
Well, don't sound too confident. Because
what's Kenneth then?
There was a typhoon in 1999 called Maggie. Maggie.
Okay.
But
so shut your mouth, clever boy.
Okay, no point so far.
Let's go to him.
Okay.
Let's cross, Posh Boy, come on.
Johnny Burrow. Seymour.
Seymour.
Hurricane
no,
Seymour.
That is never real.
Suddenly Seymour.
Seymour is real.
Hey! There you go. Can I shut you right up?
Nice bit of trivia for you. Mr. Blobby's optician was called Seymour Sharpley.
That's the second time you've mentioned Mr. Blobby.
I love Mr. Blobby.
Why do you love him so much?
I love him.
He was a useless blob.
He was absolutely not. He was.
I hate him, Blobby.
I love Mr. Blobby. If he was that useless, how did he keep getting jobs?
He did.
He must be cracking in an interview.
And he had a number one.
He
okay,
did.
We're
Christmas
move
number
on,
193.
He did. We're going to move on.
Let's move on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have we all lost one, by the way?
Yeah. No points so far.
No points so far.
Okay, here's one. Hurricane Belinda.
Hurricane Belinda.
Ooh.
I'm going for real.
That is also not.
Oh,
there was a tropical depression in 2008 called Belinda. It never reached shore.
Hurricane Blobby.
So, no point.
Is a tropical depression just being a bit sad in Jamaica?
Like, so far, I think it's like almost a story.
So far, you're having a good game here, Laurie. Good game. What you've made up of, you know, it's good. That is. Let's go, Cal Halbert.
Okay, Cal Halbert.
Yes.
Here's one that you might like very much.
Oh,
Hurricane Boris.
It's a hurricane.
Yeah, I'm gonna say yes. Go with Bojo.
The first point has been scored.
Oh. Yes! It's in the back of the net. Whiff-whaff-wah. Hurricane Bojo.
Okay. Johnny.
That's Nation's
ironically,
favorite.
Ironically, that's what Boris looks like with his hair when he comes out and sees a hurricane.
Okay.
Nation's favorite, Johnny.
This is one you might like.
Oh.
After a certain Del Bosque. Hurricane Vicente.
Oh.
No,
Vicente.
False.
You think it's false? It's actually real.
Wow! We're not doing well, are we, Posh Boy? We're not doing well at all.
So out of two rounds, 1 point has been scored.
1 point has been scored. That really does... So, that's, also, that's merit for you, isn't it?
Statistically unlikely.
Yeah, I know. It's a very easy game.
Well, it's not easy because we can't get it right. Carry on.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Okay, here's one for you, Johnny.
Okay.
Here Hurricane Reuben.
Ooh. Biblical. Biblical Reuben, that name.
Reuben.
Reuben Connor was falsely tried.
Hurricane Reuben is false.
Oh. It is false.
Hey!
Oh, do you know why I put that one in?
Reuben Connor.
Reuben Carter.
Carter, sorry. Who Bob Dylan wrote a song about, Hurricane.
Of falsely course.
Tried. And he was the trial was a pit circus.
But it's not a real hurricane.
Guess who testified?
Yes. Great song
as well. I can't remember.
Well.
Did he get that right or...?
You
said that was false, didn't you?
I said that was false.
Okay, that's a point. There we go.
Oh, I'm losing.
Oh, yeah.
So it's 1-1 to me and Cal, right?
It is indeed.
And nil to Posh Boy.
Okay. Hurricane Pain.
Hurricane Pain.
Oh,
that sounds good.
One, that's good.
Hurricane Pain.
Like Tim Payne.
Do you know what? How's it spelled? P-A-Y-N.
P-A-I-N-E.
Do you know what?
Like Tim Payne, the wicketkeeper.
Do you know what? I'm going to say false, and I'll tell you why. Because I think if that hurricane did become quite serious, Hurricane Pain is not a nice hurricane name. So I'm going to say false.
Do you know what? I think you make a great point there, but it actually is hypothetically real.
Really?
Oh! Yeah.
Wow. Oh.
Right, hang on. I can level the scores here.
You can
level the scores.
50-50 chance of not being a moron.
Yes. Hurricane Gilbert.
Oh.
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 I'm not going to twist. False.
That is false.
Oh. It's 1-1-1.
1-1-1.
There was a tornado in 1988, and tornadoes generally don't have names, but it became Hurricane Gilbert because it was
not
so strong.
Not only is this a quiz, but it's also educational. Right? It is.
Well, I've taught you about Bob Dylan.
That's a good jingle there to go with Games with Laurie.
It is it?
Not
Games with Laurie. Games with Laurie.
Not just fun.
Not just fun.
Educational.
But educational. We'll have to put that. We'll have to do that. Okay. Go on.
We'll do it tonight, Johnny.
Yeah. Let's do it tonight.
Okay.
Yes.
Background to Johnny Sperling.
Yes.
Why have you shut your eyes? You look like you're going to meditate.
I'm gonna get it in my brain and think.
Okay.
Go.
Hurricane Winston.
Ooh. Hurricane Winston. What do you mean, like Hurricane me? Show of things, shall we? Is there a Hurricane Winston? I'm gonna say false.
It is false.
Hey, two. Uh-oh.
Impressive.
Pressure's on, Halbert. Pressure's
that
on.
That was a cyclone in 2016.
Okay. Cyclone.
Well done. Cyclone. Used to be a wrestler, cyclone.
Come on, the pressure's on now.
Okay.
The pressure's on.
Here we go.
I've got two. You've got one.
Hurricane Yolanda.
Hurricane Yolanda.
Ooh. Is that a real hypothetical?
Yolanda. What's that
Yolanda.
Film? What's that film? Yolanda.
I'm going to say true.
It is true.
Oh! Do you know why I went true? Because I couldn't think of any other names that begin with the letter Y.
Precious, I think it was also one. That was. It's a good guess because obviously once you get to the X's, the Y's, and the Z's,
yeah.
You've got like Zebedee. You've not got many names.
Xylophone.
Zebedee. That's what I said. Zebedee's from Magic Roundabout.
Mm. He is.
Boing, said Zebedee.
Okay.
Remember that?
Posh, this is to stay in the game.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go.
Hurricane Ferdinand.
Oh, boy.
Is he thinking about it? I can see him.
Ooh. False.
Oh.
It is false.
Oh!
I'd put,
cool
that, one,
like.
I'd put that one in specially for you. I know.
Franz.
It was more to do with Ferdinand being a character in The Tempest.
Not a good character, let's be honest.
But also, we've had Hurricane Fernando, Tropical Storm Fernand, and there's a Fernanda hurricane scheduled for 2023. So it was close to being correct. Okay, I'm in a bit of a pickle now because
out of hurricanes.
No, I have got a tiebreaker.
Where's the tiebreaker between all of
us? But it's between three, so I don't.
You're going to have to do something else. You're going to have to ask us all a question of random general knowledge.
I'm happy for it. Okay, I haven't won one yet, Laurie. I haven't won one yet, okay? So it is between Sperling and Poshboy because they've got one apiece, haven't they?
I'll tell you how I'm going to do it.
Okay.
I'm going to name a year and a letter.
Yes. Okay. We have to think of one.
And whoever's closest, I'm going to give it to.
What do you mean, a year and a letter? What do you mean?
So next year is 2020.
Yeah.
There is an A to Z hypothetical list of hurricanes.
Hurricanes, right.
Mm. I'm going to give you a letter from that year,
yeah.
And you have to guess what the hurricane's going to be called. Okay?
Oh, that's going to be difficult. Okay, let's do it.
And your letter is?
Yes.
C. Okay, Johnny Sperling, you're up first.
Hurricane Cradle.
Hurricane Cradle.
What?
Is that really your guess?
No, all right, okay, it's not.
No, I'm going to have to take that. All
right, you know, it's meant to be a name, not a random word.
I'm gonna go with my name. However, I may shoot myself in the foot because I'm pretty sure there has already been a Hurricane Callum. But I'm gonna go with.
But remember,
Callum.
They are reused on. Cycle.
I'm gonna go Callum. I'm gonna go with my name.
Okay.
Mm. Come on, Johnny.
It's tense. Hurricane Catherine.
Ooh.
Kathy.
Okay.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I'm fairly sure that probably two of those have been used before, so could realistically be in the
Callum
cycle.
Definitely has been.
Cradle, I'm less sure about. And that should fill you
cradle.
With doubt, given that I have the answer in front of me.
Yeah, what is the answer?
I don't know who I'm going to give this to.
Well, you can't give it to anyone if it's not right.
Well actually,
it's a
bloke's name or a woman's name, isn't it? That'd have to be the closest,
that's
I think.
Arguably why I went for Catherine.
And you said?
Callum.
Well, the actual answer is Cristobal.
Well, no one gets it. Nobody gets it.
I'm going to give it to Cal. I'm going to give the win to Cal. Because he guessed a man's name, you guessed a thing. Like a cradle. And Johnny went for Catherine, which is, you know.
Yeah. Games with Laurie.
Low scoring round today.
It was.
Join us tomorrow for more Games with Laurie.
Thank you, Laurie. Thank you, Posh Boy.
And Posh Boy goes as well.
Oh, that was Games with Laurie.
Games with Laurie, eh?
You've been listening to the. Well, no, you are still listening.
Hang on, we've got a couple of minutes before we have a break. Otherwise, we've got too long to talk up the next thing. I'll tell you what, we are going to be covering, and we'll talk about it now, for a little while, for a couple of minutes. Robin Williams.
Yes.
It's Robin Williams. It's 5 years, you said.
Yesterday.
I can't believe
years.
It's 5 years since we lost the great man. The great man. And I'll tell you something very quickly, shall I?
Yes.
Robin Williams.
Robin Williams. Oh.
In 1978, I was sitting at home watching the TV, waiting for my favourite programme, which was Happy Days.
Yes.
I was 12. And waiting for Happy Days to come on, which was Saturday night, 5:15. And I was waiting for Happy Days to come on. And on it came. And Richie draws up in his car in front of the house. Do you ever know Happy Days? Do you remember Happy
Days? Yeah, I've watched
Days?
Happy Days, yeah.
And he gets out, he gets in, and he falls asleep on the couch. He wakes up. And there's a knock at the door. And he opens the door, and in walks Mork from Ork.
Mork from Ork. Nanu, Nanu.
Nanu, Nanu. Nanu, Nanu. And this was the first glimpse anybody in the UK we'd ever had a glimpse of Robin Williams. And for the next, I suppose, 25 minutes, anyone who was sitting down watching this programme, you were just drawn to the screen. He absolutely dominated the screen for 25 minutes. You'd never seen an appearance like it, a performance like it. He just Whoa, it was like a whirlwind. It was incredible. And that was my first... That's when I fell in love with Robin Williams. And, of course, you know, Morecambe Mindy.
Everything else he's done.
Morecambe Mindy, you know...
Mrs. Doubtfire's my favourite film of all time.
Of course, Good Morning Vietnam.
Good morning, Vietnam! We're going to go over to Jerry, who's over on the helicopter. Yes, we're on the helicopter. Yeah. We're stuck
what
here.
What does the old stand for? Oh, my God, it's early.
Yes. Goodwill Hunting. One-hour photo. Fantastic. Oh, the list goes on. Photo Aladdin.
Aladdin.
He's an absolute hero of mine, Robin Williams. I was devastated when he passed away. Who would have thought it's been 5 years?
Yeah.
You are listening to the Bell and Sperling Show, minus Bell.
Very much past a girl.
This is Love Sport.
You've been listening to Bell and Sperling. We will sign out. Thank you very much.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.